Hey there, Michael.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm wrecked. I'm just absolutely wrecked. So we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but so I'm kind of in the final stretch for the deadline for the first draft of this here book I've been working on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tentative working title, and probably will end up being at least, a portion of the title is enough. Like Keeping It Straight, it's a series of essays. Unlike Keeping It Straight, this is a series of essays around a theme, and that theme being one of enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at this point. I think that this is a lot of writers find themselves here when they're working on a book, and that is they start to really, really second guess the book and get down on it, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm trying not to be, but I think in a way it's Stephen Pressfield wrote this great little manifesto for Seth Godin's Domino Project called Do the Work. And in it, he discusses at lengths in many different ways about what he calls the resistance. And the resistance is, you know, that fear, that self-doubt, that thing that tells you that, oh, you know, it's not ready yet, or it's not good enough, or basically the thing that keeps you from shipping, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of what I'm facing right now. I've kind of hit up against the wall of the resistance, and everything about it is driving me to do, like, to go backwards and to do the opposite of shipping, knowing all the while that in 18 days, because that's the deadline that I've set with my publisher. If I only have a couple of words to put on a motivational poster, I'm going to be shipping a motivational poster.
Yeah.
I just need to keep reminding myself of that and telling myself that and, you know, and just recognize and realize that I got to do this. I got to power through it. I got to push through it and just do it. Because I'm not as close as I would like to be, but I'm so much closer. Like, I could ship what I have right now, and it would be okay, you know?
But that's not the level that you want to ship.
No.
So, I mean, this is pretty timely stuff, because we are currently in the beginnings of NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. I'd hope that some of our listeners are doing NaNoWriMo, and I'm doing some writing myself at the moment,
or at least trying to.
Yeah, I'm working on something that is far too early for me to really give any details on it.
Okay,
because I'm terrified that I'm not going to get it done, but. So, I mean, that was why I tricked Pat a few weeks ago into talking about Scrivener, because I was deciding whether to buy it or not. And I've been using it, and I've been enjoying it. Scrivener, they do a discount in October. In November for NaNoWriMo, and you can get it from their website. They do a discount.
How much?
They do an edition. I will find that out while I'm talking, but.
Man, I should have waited.
The thing is, this it's on. I think it's on the only in the downloadable version. And really, I like to buy everything from the Mac App Store now.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Let me see.
And I will say that Scrivener is one of those programs that is worth it at its regular price. So even without the discount, I don't feel in any way shorted. It really has been an extremely valuable tool for the book I'm working on, And I'm pretty convinced that should I write another book? Because gosh, it's hard, man. It's just hard.
Yes, I'm aware of this. For the NaNoWriMo 2011, and it's at literatureandlatte.com/NaNoWriMo. We'll have to put that in the show notes, Pat.
For sure.
Just in case anyone doesn't know how to spell that.
Yep.
They do a special trial version, which usually runs out after 30 days. But this one, it goes all the way up until the 7th of December, no matter when you download it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And for all winners of the Nano, they get a 50% discount, and it's 20% off for everybody else if you use the code NaNoWriMo.
Wow!
So they do this every year.
Yeah, nice.
The guy does this every year because it's again. I mean, I don't know if we really explained it, but NaNoWriMo is like this competition, nay, initiative kind of thing where people just write short novels during the month of November.
Yeah, basically it is a challenge to write a novel in 30 days of the month of November, right?
Yeah.
So,
which to me seems
National
like
Novel Writing Month is what NaNoWriMo stands.
It is awesome. I love it. I love the name. I just think it's such a wicked name.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's funny? What's funny is that I've always kind of been put off by it because I don't write novels.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like, you know, I don't know. It's like, where's the love for nonfiction writers in this world, right? You
know? What would we call that? National Nonfiction Writing Month.
Not as catchy. Yeah, maybe we should make that December or something.
Nanonfiwriter.
But yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be that. It could be, you know what, I'm going to use it as a challenge to write a post, to post to my blog every day, you know, I mean.
Yeah, just use it as a way to spurn you on to do some writing if it's something you've been hankering to do.
Yeah, I mean, because really, I think what any of these things are about is building a writing habit, and that's the Artist's Way's morning pages are like that. The idea behind journaling is like that. You know, it's about building a habit. They say it takes, you know, a good month to form any habit where you are writing every day, or, you know, doing anything every day. You know, I think that that things like NaNoWriMo and participating in that is a good way to use it as a prompt to get into a writing habit. Is basically, you know, what I'm saying. I mean, there are some of us like myself. I can't help but write. I write every day regardless. I don't necessarily always write for, you know, my websites every day, as much as I should, and especially right now. So much of my writing energy is going into this book, but regardless, I'm writing something, every day. I'm probably, you know, do 500 to 1,000 words every day.
Incredible. I mean, my main issue really with the book project is time.
Yeah.
Because I have so little of it. And I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I work a 9-to-5 day job, mm-hmm. And then 3 nights a week I get home at about 7. I start recording at 8. As it is at the moment, I start recording at 8, and I'm finished recording and editing at midnight. That's 3 nights a week.
Wow.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I just spend time with my better half. That is, you know, that's what we do. That's our time.
Yeah.
So I don't I don't do more, anything in that time.
More importantly, that's her time.
Exactly. That is very correct. So then really the only time that I'm going to have is Thursdays. So I've put a return, as we were talking, I've put a recurring event for Thursdays,
yeah,
which just says, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we'll see where we go from there.
Well, Pat, and even that, right? If you do that enough every Thursday, you form a habit. You form a habit that, oh, Thursday is writing day. Thursday is writing day. It's like you don't. And pretty soon your brain forms that habit, right? The creative writing center of your brain starts to know, oh, hey, it's Thursday. I'm going to start writing now.
Exactly, because, I mean, there are... I mean, so I know, like, oh, Monday, I'm doing 11 minutes. Tuesday, I'm doing minimal Mac and, you know, and I'm Genius. So I know that these are my days. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are days where I'm like, oh, I just don't want to talk into that microphone this evening. But I do it. And mm-hmm. I know that it will be the same with the writing. Because yeah. sometimes it is, you know, you just... No matter how much you absolutely adore something, like I do recording these shows, you know, I love it. It's my hobby. It's what I enjoy. There are times when all you would prefer to do is just get in bed with a box of chocolates and that be your evening.
Yeah.
You know?
I wanted to get in bed with a bottle of whiskey today. Like, seriously, for lunch, I consoled myself by cooking up a big prime rib steak.
Like, that's pretty good consolation.
You know, it's like, yeah, okay, this is, you know, this is going to make me feel better. And boy, at least for the time, it certainly made me feel better. But yeah, I think there's something about the habit part, right? With your brain automatically kind of knows, okay, this, you know, this day is for recording this day is for recording that. It automatically gets into that mode, right? Where you're thinking automatically about, okay, you know, here's the steps I need to do for recording. Here's the things I need to do, you know, for this particular show or that particular show, because each one's slightly different, right?
Yeah.
I think the same will be true, you will find, if you get into a writing habit. Of course, the problem with me is that, you know, I have this thing I like to call my writing brain. There's this little portion of my brain that's kind of separate and autonomous unto itself. And it decides it wants to write at the most inconvenient times possible, right? It's always 5 minutes before I have to leave out the door, it starts writing. And it's like, no, yeah, this is not the time.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? There are times and places for this, and this is not one of them, writing brain. And God, it's so frustrating sometimes because the call to do so is so tremendously strong. I mean, there have been times when, like, it's 5 minutes before I have to leave out the door for a client appointment or I'll be late. And gosh, you know, I know some of my clients might listen to this and cringe, but I'm sorry. I've called and said, you know what? I'm running a little bit behind. I'm going to be about a half hour delayed. Is that okay? I'm really, really sorry about that. You know, because I've had to, my writing brain won't let me leave out the door. It just won't. It comes and I have to get it out. I have to write or else I will not be able to think clearly about anything else. It will consume every thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, I hate that, you know, but it's the way it works. And I can tell you for certain that at least two of the essays that are in this book have been a result of that happening, where suddenly writing brain figures out what it wants to say about a certain thing. It knows exactly what it wants to say about it and how it wants to say it. And I'm compelled to sit down and push aside anything else I had planned and let it write. You know, so there are habits, but I think for some of us, for some of us, the habits don't matter at all. We write anyway. We can't stop ourselves.
So I think that's called an addiction at that point.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Actually, one of the one of the things I recently wrote about for inclusion in the book is actually the things I write that I never publish or send. The letters I write to people that I know when I'm writing them, I'm not planning on sending them.
Because they're too angry?
No. No, not because they're too angry or because they're too personal. It's because my writing brain had to say this, and it doesn't need to be shared. It's not important for whatever reason. In some cases, it's, I'll give you some past examples. There was a time when I witnessed an act of what I thought was courage and bravery. Happened. I was kind of a bystander, and I, left away from it thinking to myself, you know what? I wish I had taken the time to thank that person, because I'll never forget that. And, the situation wasn't right for doing so. And so I wrote that person a letter, letting them know how much I appreciate them. Have no idea who they are, what their name was, what have you. But I needed to say that.
There's something, I don't know, a little bit spiritual in that, I guess. Or a little bit Santa.
Yeah.
However you want to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, I think a lot of this stuff is, I think that the intersections of the sacred and the spiritual with a lot of the themes I've been writing about is very crucial and compelling. Without giving too much away, some of these themes that I've written about so far center around purpose, having the right purpose for something, because if your purpose is clear, then your intention and your actions follow. Another theme I've been kind of writing on and around is the idea of sacred spaces, and that traditionally, religious spaces, for instance, whether it be a church or a mosque or a synagogue or a temple or what have you, one thing that you will notice about any of those spaces is that they all share something in common. And that thing that they share in common is that everything within that space has a purpose for being there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing that doesn't belong. Not a single thing. Think about a church, for instance. Last time you were in a church, when you were baptized. Not a single item in that church. Empty out all the people. Not a single item in that inside of that sanctuary, at least in the sanctuary of the church, is not there for a purpose. From the hangings on the wall, the little felt banners that you see oftentimes in churches, from the cross, if you're Catholic, there's the host, there's the from the hymnals to the Bibles to the pews. I mean, even the seating is arranged with a specific purpose in mind, to give one a specific view. And focus, and how we might be able to bring that concept into our homes, right? How, you know, if you treat your the area where you work as sacred, and you bring that same principle to that workspace, what you will find by letting that workspace be driven by that principle is that everything that is there for a purpose and belongs there. And that the desk and your seat and everything else are set up for the purpose of work. And that anything that doesn't belong in that space shouldn't be there. Anything that is less than sacred should not be within this sacred space. And so it's actually kind of interesting, especially from, you know, someone who is a student of religion but doesn't necessarily consider himself religious.
Mm-hmm.
How much of an intersection there is there, and how many things we can find within spiritual practice that can help us with our, you know, with our daily gods as well. Whether that god be your work, whether that god be your family, whether that god be your rest, that you design the space to support those, and in the same way that one would do any other sacred space. So, yeah, you know, these are some of the themes, at least, that are kind of coming up as I'm pushing forward, and I think some of the things that really are going to help to tie it all together once I figure out how to do that. And I've only got 18 days to do it, so you know, tally ho.
Good luck, Patrick Brown. Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be nano deadline mo for me. Real brief here, you know, what's going on with you?
Still working on building the network. Still trying to iron out some bugs in the website. Like, at the moment, if anyone can help with this, this is a plea. This is an on-air plea. On iOS, on certain pages of the site, the text jiggles. I have no idea why. It just does it.
Jiggles?
It looks like by like a point size, it increases and decreases. I don't know why this is. It only happens on my...
Like actively, like as you're looking at it, it's jiggling.
Yeah, it's moving. It's not a design that I chose.
I gotta
bear in mind,
see this.
Yeah, I have no knowledge of coding. I was very lucky. I used Squarespace, which is a fantastic tool to build the site, and I built the entire site using their built-in tools. But for some reason, the text moves. I think it might be something to do with links. I don't know, but I need help. If you're able to help, I would appreciate the help.
Now. The site's done on, and this is, I guess, a free ad for them. It's done on Squarespace, right?
Yeah, the whole thing is on Squarespace.
Yeah.
But you can go in and edit, like, practically any of the code. Well, you can go in and edit some of the codes and stuff. But I assume that I might have left a bracket open somewhere, I guess.
Hmm. And it's causing your text to jiggle.
Yes.
I just find that hilarious.
If you go to, for example, if you go to 70decibels.com/enough, at times it doesn't always. It's the thing. It doesn't always do it either. The text moves about a bit. It's very peculiar. It does, as I say, it doesn't always happen. So you might not see it. But if you see it and you know what to do about it, I would love to know.
All right.
So there you go. I'm also working on something really awesome, which I will tell you about in a minute, and hopefully I will be able to tell everyone about by the time this show is aired anyway. So there you go. That's a tease.
That is definitely a tease.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well then. Consider me teased as well. I'm very excited.
Well, let's finish this one up.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate you listening to my, well, and the reader, or the listeners as well, for listening to my kvetching and such. And I just real quick, I want to add, that's one of the reasons why kind of posts have really kind of slowed to a crawl on Minimal Mac, and will continue to be so, because I'm just consumed right now with this. But I will also make note of that on the site. Hope people forgive me. But beyond that, I guess we'll talk later, my friend, huh?
We will.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.